that. You gotta put it in
In the beginning, man's world was no larger than his eye could see. His horizon no further than his legs could carry him. The far side of the earth was a mystery, so vast an earth, so little time, until now, until the birth of this new age.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
These guys aren't really my friends, you know, I barely know the names. I mean, I know Carlos, but only because of that old song, Carlos the Tickle Monster.
Wait, what song is that?
God, I knew he made that up. But it did help me remember.
Yeah! Yeah! Thank you! Thank you!
You got a lot of nerve waking me up in the middle of the night like this.
I'm going to kill your mother!
What kind of radio show is this?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Time to release the Kraken.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Roll another one.
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Just like the other one.
Kevin, are you on crack?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Get out of here, you
Flies. I need another
year. It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Oh, there it is.
Roll another one.
Are you gay?
Just like.
Cincinnati, bow tie.
This one seems to be about sense.
Well, our next stop's the nut.
And I don't have another sense.
There is no justification whatsoever for what you do.
But don't bogart that joint.
Why don't you put your thumb up your butt?
Just pass it around.
God, I hate you so much.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What you talking about, Wallace?
I just pass it.
And now.
I have never seen Star Wars because I was too busy hooking up with guys, unlike you losers.
Our feature presentation.
Was that guy mad at the flies? Was that Winnebago man?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, I love him.
I miss him too.
I miss him so much.
You know, I don't remember the specifics of the story. This was a viral video that was popular a few years ago that we really enjoyed listening to. But it was a cranky old guy who was trying to record an infomercial for Winnebago's and was just distracted by everything, kept screwing up the script. And then he was infested with flies and he was yelling at the cameraman. And it was hot and he was miserable and it just became a sensation. And we love that guy. He was a victim of California wildfires a couple years ago and lost everything.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but he lived in a big ranch somewhere, and it all burned down. And there was a campaign to try to help raise some money to help him find a new place to live. It was really sad when you see somebody like that at that age lose everything in a fire.
I would have taken him in.
I know. He was your people, man.
Man, oh man, I love that guy. He was
the best.
Mad at everything and everybody. Oh, I love it. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, the 15th of August.
You guys are with me that going outside is for losers, right? There's no real reason to ever leave your house. I mean, if you're doing it right, if you're living your life right, there's no reason to.
I think our view on that is that you are insane and going outside is awesome.
I want all of my movies on demand so I don't have to go to a theater. I want my groceries.
I love going to theaters.
Well, my groceries delivered from Amazon, so I don't have to go to the grocery store. I think that's the future, and that's the way to go, and I think we're heading toward that. And I think there's something going on that starts today that I think you will realize we are heading in the right direction, and there's no reason to ever leave your home.
Something starts today.
Starts today, and it lasts for a week. It's a promotion between two companies. One is named Saucy. They are a Los Angeles-based alcohol delivery app.
All right.
So no more going to the liquor store. You just log onto your app and you can, you know, you can buy your beer, your wine, your hard liquor, whatever you want, and have it delivered to your home. So that's saucy. They are teaming up with an underwear company that advertises that they have the world's most comfortable underwear. Kevin, this is relevant to your interests.
Sure.
you go through 30 pair of underwear a week. That company is called Me Undies. Me Undies. And they are doing a promotion together where for 1 week, between 4 and 9 p.m. In Los Angeles area, you can have underwear models deliver your alcohol to your home.
Yay!
What? Underwear models.
Just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Is there a minimum or will a bottle of wine do it?
It says here the packs will be available Friday for 1 week only. They include everything you need for a sleepover, including a fresh pair of underwear, socks, a T-shirt, sunglasses, a hangover-fighting vitamin from Drinkwell, and your choice of alcohol or mixers. It looks to me like maybe there's a $40 minimum, I want to say, Lisa.
Okay, that's not bad.
Maybe $40, yeah. They say that you will receive your goods within 20 minutes, which seems implausible to me.
Yeah, no kidding.
As spread out as Los Angeles is, like, how is that possible? Anyway,
define underwear model, by the way. That's just somebody showing up in his underwear.
That's a good point. Who knows?
That's not true.
I don't know. I'm down for that.
I have an assumption. I could be wrong.
Right.
You know, I guess we'll wait and see how it plays out. But if you go to the Me Undies site, those underwear models would be fine. And they got both flavors. They got the men and the women modeling the underwear on the site. I mean, I can't imagine that all of them are models that have been used in advertising. I'm sure they got to pull them from somewhere else to, you know, just for the number of people that are going to be needed for a promotion like
this. If they're honestly saying 20 minutes, I mean, they're going to have to take almost anyone that'll do
almost
it.
Almost anyone, right. Yeah. Beer Mug will be showing up for work at noon today for
all
his
right,
job.
All right, I got your liquor.
And here's another trend that I like that we've come to love in the Uber app, which is that no money changes hands. You don't have to come out with a credit card. You don't have to worry about a delivery fee or a tip. It's all included. It's right there in the app because you set it up when you set up the app. And I think that's the wave of the future too, don't you? The cashless society where everything's kind of handled behind the scenes and you don't have to deal with, you know, fumbling around with it at the time of purchase.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. So anyway, just use the code MEUNDIES, that's MEUNDIES, on the Saucy app. And that's Saucy with an extra E for some reason, SAUCEY. So that's starting today. And let us know how that goes if anyone uses it.
Huh. Yeah.
Right?
Shouldn't we have something delivered here?
I think I'm going to wait. Oh, you want to try it this morning?
Shouldn't we?
Well, it starts at 4 p.m.
All next week.
Lisa will try it tonight, then, and then we'll, she'll let us all know how it goes. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
At the end of the day, man, these people do not like your black ass.
Nothing I can do about that. Matt Money Smith will be on the program today.
Sure.
Uh-huh. He has a new TV show about fantasy football.
Sure he does.
We all find nonsense. I believe we're in a giant minority. I mean, a tiny minority. Because I think a majority of the people love it. And I don't know why.
I don't know either.
But also, Hulk Hogan will be here.
That's right, brother.
Very excited about that.
Very excited about
living
that.
Living legend.
A living legend.
I just said that.
I just said that.
Plus, we have a movie beat because it is Friday, and we have your tickets for Rise Against, your last chance to win those tickets coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin DeBicho at 5:54.
Who are these crazies, these lunatics that are going to be here? Explain them to me. Because if I'm going to do some kind of a dumb dog and pony show, I'm going to know who I'm talking to.
Oh, it's Ralph Garman. That's who you're talking to. Ralph Garman's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin DeBicho.
Christina Aguilera's got a new way to motivate herself to lose some post-baby weight. Most new mommies hide behind yoga pants or baggy T-shirts, but she has decided that she wants to pose nude for Playboy.
Okay.
Wow, that's putting the pressure on yourself.
That would motivate you, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, she is determined to become a centerfold, according to In Touch Weekly magazine. She's not afraid to show off her body pregnant, by the way. She just showed off her big baby bump posing nude for V magazine, and she said once the baby's out of the way, she can get back to whoring around.
God, she's hot. Playboy hot.
We'll see.
She hopes to be. We'll wait and see. I mentioned yesterday about the movie that the Lifetime Network is doing about the life and death of actress Brittany Murphy. It turns out her father is not happy about this film. Angelo Bertolotti is furious about the project, and he says Lifetime has not been authorized to produce the film, and he plans to slap the network with a lawsuit.
Hmm.
He says there is still an ongoing investigation into her death. He believes personally that foul play was involved, but investigators never found any evidence to that fact. They always claimed she passed away due to pneumonia, anemia, and multiple prescription drug intoxication. But then her husband, Simon Monjak, he passed away from nearly identical causes 5 months after his bride did. So,
living in the same bedroom that she was?
Yeah, curious. Yeah. Curious circumstances, to say the least. Anyway, Dad's not happy, and we'll have to wait and see how this shakes out legally. But I'm assuming because she's a public figure that they have the legal right to go ahead and make the movie anyway.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So you don't own your rights and image?
Well, they're not using Brittany Murphy's image. They'll cast another actress to play Brittany Murphy.
Right.
And, you know, there's unauthorized biographies and unauthorized projects all the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Regarding celebrities. So, Robin Williams, another piece to the unsolvable puzzle of his suicide, has been laid in front of us. His wife yesterday announced that Robin had been diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's disease at the time of his death. There's no big link between those who suffer from Parkinson's disease and suicide. They don't commit suicide more than any other part of the population, but people seem to think that there is a link between Parkinson's disease and depression, and it was depression, of course, that caused Robin to take his life. So that, in combination, they say also his recent heart surgery could have caused depression as well. So it seemed like he was really going through a tough time, obviously, when he took his own life. So this is just another potential cause behind his despair. And Disney has said, as a tribute to Robin, they are going to air his movie Aladdin this weekend on the Disney Channel, Disney XD, and Disney Junior. The movie was truly a standout performance for Robin. He had a chance to use many of his impressions and improvised much of the film. He himself said in an interview that initially they came in and he was doing the scripted lines, and he said, "Do you mind if I try something?" And then 18 hours of recording later, they had pretty much the character in the can, and that's what the that's where he sort of built and developed that character.
That's why you bring a guy like that in, though, isn't it? For the most part, I mean, don't you want him to...
It sure is an advantage.
Yeah.
When he can...
put his style all over it?
When he can return product like that, you know, especially for a character like that. It just went... It was a perfect meeting of artist and role, and it really is a phenomenal voiceover performance by him in that film. So you can check that out this weekend with your kids if they've never seen it. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor David Zayas. You remember him from Dexter. Played Angel.
Oh, yeah.
Angel.
I loved him.
He was great. Talented guy. Good actor. And, you know, I spent almost every Comic-Con with him and the gang from Dexter each and every year. And he was a sweetheart of a person. 52 years old today. Deborah Messing is 46 years old. Actor Anthony Anderson turns 44. Batman Ben Affleck is 42 years old today. Natasha Henstridge turns 40. Jennifer Lawrence is 24 years old. And Joe Jonas... I don't know if this is a joke or whether Dave's just a dope, but it's written here, actor Joe Jonas. No, excuse me, actress Joe Jonas is how it's written here on the list. So, actress Joe Jonas is 25 years old today.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph's got the movie beat in minutes. Hulk Hogan, 1 hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. I never thought I'd ask this question, Kevin, but how long did it take you to get all that stuff out of your hair?
Yeah.
A while.
Did the ice bucket challenge yesterday because Dr. Drew... a-hole that he is called me out. You get to nominate three people. So so I had that. I had a bucket full of ice water dumped on my head. And then
that wasn't a bucket, by the way.
It was
a trash can full.
It's the most water I've ever seen in my
entire
life.
Seriously, it was ocean size.
And then because I put Coffee Mate over Dave, the powder, the white powder, so it would be funny, he found some chocolate powder and poured that over me.
Awesome.
And then Chip... who I always make fun of for being small, brings another bucket at the end, thinking that she's going to surprise me, and throws it. I swear to God, it hits me like at knee level. That's as high as she can get. It wasn't very effective.
So you expect that you're going to get wet. I mean, obviously your head's going to get wet with the ice bucket challenge. You weren't expecting to get a crotch shot of cold water,
It wasn't
too.
Even that high. Like, I'm sure you meant to hit me in the face, right, with the water?
I don't even know anymore.
It was crazy. It was so low. So anyway, I get to now I nominate three people. There is a trend here, and I'm not sure why it's taken so long to get to this trend, but former Miss Double December Lux.
Oh, yeah. I would have seen that, sure.
Calling you out. Bean, you remember last week when Victoria's Secret model Lily Aldridge
Yes, of course.
Tweeted us saying that she's a fan. She loves the show.
Uh-huh.
Her as well.
Okay, good.
And from Person of Interest, one of our favorites, Sarah Shahi.
Oh,
excellent choice.
Wow.
Now, I don't expect Sarah Shahi or Lily Aldridge to get the message necessarily, so maybe those of you out there can help.
Okay.
But it's up right now at krock.com if you want to see that on the Kevin and Bean page.
Well, as you mentioned, you had to do it within 24 hours because Dr. Drew had done the Ice Bucket Challenge the day before, and he called you out. And yesterday we got a chance to talk to him, find out how he was recovering from his wetness. A lot of cinema choices for you this weekend. Let's get right to it. It's time for Ralph Garman and the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Already opened this week is Let's Be Cops, a movie I saw a couple weeks ago, and I got to tell you, I really enjoyed this film. It's funny. It's got a lot of heart. It's got some great action and adventure stuff. It's a real throwback to, like, the classic buddy films of the 80s. Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans Jr. from New Girl co-star, and they've got a great chemistry on screen. Rob Riggle's terrific. Nina Dobrev is adorable as well. The story of two buddies who are both struggling in their lives until they decide to dress up as cops for a costume party, and that's when their lives take a change, not necessarily for the better, but it does get more interesting, that's for sure. Here's some clips from the trailer of Let's Be Cops.
We're going to the costume party tonight.
Let's be cops.
People actually think we're cops.
Oh, what do we have here?
Oh, marijuana.
Officer, this is...
Oh, that's ripping.
Thank you. We could go to jail for years for this.
Who's this bitch?
I will slap the little afro off your head.
Their badge numbers don't match up. They're not LAPD.
So, what are they?
Feds, ATF, maybe a special unit.
Yeah, we're black ops, dude.
Yeah, film's great. Check it out. I think you'll have a good time. Life After Beth, also released this week in limited release, Aubrey Plaza. Dane DeHaan, John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, all star. It's a story of a young lady, Aubrey Plaza, who died and, of course, you know, comes back from the dead.
Sure.
Like you do, becoming a zombie and all.
Mm-hmm.
And Dane DeHaan plays her boyfriend, who realizes slowly that maybe it isn't the same girl that he loved when they were in their relationship. Here is a scene from the film where he realizes she's changing in subtle ways, like her taste in music.
I don't feel so good. I feel really dizzy.
Really? Is that all?
I feel really cold.
Are you hungry?
No, not really. I just feel really cold. Your window's broken. It won't go up. You should really get this fixed. Zach, someone could, like, totally get in your car and steal your radio or something.
Your name? Yes, I...
Merge and destruction in the downtown area.
Here. That's good.
Are you serious?
Really? Smooth jazz is where you're leaning now? That's that zombie music?
Boy, it does suck to be dead.
The Trip to Italy is in limited release. If you've seen The Trip, you are, like I am, eagerly awaiting this film. The Trip was a movie starring British comedian Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. And basically what they did was they went all over the UK doing restaurant reviews, but really was just a premise to get these two best friends and very funny guys out on the road together to film a pseudo-documentary where they just cut up and have a good time together. They're back together again. This time it's The Trip to Italy, where they're traveling around Italy, also reviewing restaurants and traveling together and being very, very funny. Here in a scene from Trip to Italy, they talk about the fact that this is their second movie and how sequels are never any good.
It just feels odd doing something for the second time. It's like trying to do a sequel, isn't it? It's never going to be as good as the first time.
Godfather 2.
Which is the one that people always mention when they try to search for an example of a sequel that's as good as...
Just when I thought I was out, they put me back in.
What's this licking thing you always do? It's just, you look like some sort of...
That's what Pacino
small
does.
Gecko.
That's what he does.
Just when I thought I'd made two terrific movies, they go and make... another! I'm back in.
It's okay. He's just doing an impersonation. It's fine.
These guys are so funny together. I love the first film. This one looks terrific. Frank is also in limited release this weekend. This is an odd film, but it's getting a lot of attention because it is completely original. It's a story of a young musician who joins a band who's led by a guy named Frank who wears a giant papier-mâché head and never takes it off.
All right, that again?
That old story.
Uh-huh.
Domhnall Gleeson plays John, the young musician, and Michael Fassbender, in a terrific performance, plays Frank, but you never see his face because he's always wearing a giant papier-mâché head.
So is it really Michael Fassbender, or is that how they're selling tickets by telling you it is?
It's really Michael Fassbender. Here's some clips from the trailer of Frank.
How to describe Frank?
1, 2, 3, 4!
Well, there's the head, of course.
He never takes it off. You think it's weird? Would it help if I said my facial expressions out loud? Welcoming smile.
Delighted look. But what goes on inside the head inside that head?
I find this inspiring.
Is music.
Something is pressing something is!
Frank, people should know about you. You should be famous.
Flattered grin, followed by a bashful half-smile.
Stop saying your facial expressions out loud. It's extremely annoying.
That's Maggie Gyllenhaal there, who gets a little ticked off at him constantly describing what his face looks like under the mask. Funny concept. Jake Squared is a movie in limited release. A filmmaker is making a story about how he screwed up every relationship he's ever had, and suddenly, magically, versions from his past start to show up of himself. So it's like he's at 50, and then his 40-year-old self shows up, and then his 30-year-old self shows up, his 17-year-old self shows up. Elias Cotia stars in this film. I like this actor a lot. Here's some scenes from Jake Squared.
Hi, I'm Jake Klein. I sell real estate. Ex-wife, couple of kids. I got this great house. A lot of interesting people, ladies. Let's see what I get.
So, there's this guy who's really struggling with his life. He's always been unlucky in love. Not only is he at the party, but also himself at age 30, as a teenager.
Good morning!
And at 40.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, now what? That's not supposed to happen.
The Giver opens up this weekend. Jeff Bridges, Meryl Streep, Brenton Thwaites. It's a perfect community in this film. No war, no pain, no suffering, no differences, no choices. And a young boy is chosen to learn from an elderly man about the true pain and pleasure of the real world. Philip Noyce is the director of this film. Here's a scene where the giver, Jeff Bridges, is trying to teach this young man, Brenton Thwaites, about life. And he's able to show him apparitions from the past, including this young lady named Rosemary, who we also used to teach people like Taylor Swift as they are sitting at a piano together.
Who's that?
Thanks.
This,
I'll show you.
This Rosemary, the previous receiver.
See?
She's the one they all talk about. She no longer exists.
Remember?
Except here and in my memories. She was in training only 2 short months.
Watch how my fingers move.
Or like you. She wanted to experience, well, everything.
When did Jeff Bridges become 100 years
no
old?
No kidding, what happened?
I don't know. And lastly, Expendables 3. Here's Kevin's movie of the week.
Thank you.
Stallone, Statham, Banderas, Lee, Rousey, Schwarzenegger.
Loud,
bang, shoot, ow.
Explode.
Boom, loud. Here's a scene where Terry Crews is happy about the arrival of his buddies, the Expendables.
About time you boys showed up.
That's a good clip.
Yes, that is movie I like. No, 3 words, many bangs. 2 lads up.
It is hard to award the dumbest name to the characters in The Expendables, but Terry Crews' Hail Caesar might just win.
Well, you know.
His name is Hail Caesar, you guys.
Yeah.
Damn right. He came, he saw, he kicked its ass.
That's right, man.
Expendables 3 this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:54.
Very excited about the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know about you guys.
Very excited.
A legend is going to be stepping in here. Hulk Hogan.
A legend who you do a bang-up impression of.
I can't wait to hear Hulk meets Hulk.
It's going to be so fun. Probably the whole first
part of the show, I think.
Like the first 10 minutes, would you say?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Not sure why we would waste the man's time with that.
No, we have plenty of time with him.
Hulk Hogan himself joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Remember the time Bean made me do Homer Simpson to Dan Castellaneta?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, it was a good time.
And I remember that you sort of didn't want to do that.
Not at all.
He wouldn't hear it.
But he insisted it was good for the show.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to concentrate on. What is good for the show?
How about
because
that?
Yeah. You do a great be good. Homer impression. Mm-hmm. That's right. The difference.
That's going to be and the same case here.
And you are the Hulk.
That's right, brother.
You invite. See?
See, there
it's
you
like
go.
He's in the room with us right now.
All right.
Wait. Movie news. This is no surprise. Godzilla 2 is coming. The big guy's headed back to the box office in June 2018. So make sure you get your calendars out. And
why are they making
June 2018?
Honestly, why are they making these announcements?
The release date for Godzilla 2.
I mean, you could say they're working on it. You could say there's going to be a sequel. Now. You could say the year. Why are they giving a month in 2016?
Because you need to clear calendar.
You do have to, these days when everyone's doing it, Kevin, you literally do have to stake out your weekend if it's 2 or 3 years in advance so that Marvel doesn't come along and put a movie up against you.
See?
My personal calendar goes through tonight. So I'm not going to be able to write that in.
You don't even know what day it is. Are you kidding?
How dare you?
More movie news. They are making a film called The Lennon Report about the tragic assassination of John Lennon. And the attempts to save his life. The entire film will take place at the Roosevelt Hospital in Manhattan, where Lennon was brought in via ambulance when he was shot. One of the people at the hospital that night was a guy named Alan Weiss. He broke the story on Lennon's shooting. He was a producer for WABC TV News, and he was just happened to be in the hospital for a motorcycle injury.
No kidding.
He's laying on a stretcher, and they bring a guy in the emergency room, and they park him next to him, and he looks over and he says, "Oh, my God, that's John Lennon."
No kidding.
That's how he discovered the story. He broke the news and won an Emmy for his news reporting on that story. So that will be part of the story. Another cast member is Kevin Dillon from Entourage. He's been hired to play a cop in the upcoming film, which scares me to no end. Kevin Dillon was very serviceable in Entourage.
Right.
However, have you seen him in anything else he's ever done?
I don't think
so. Did you ever see that Poseidon Adventure remake they did?
Oh, I did see that.
He was one of the
people. Oh, my God. That was one of the worst movies ever.
He was just as good as the film was. So, they give and they take. That Midnight Rider film, the story of Greg Allman and the Allman Brothers.
The cursed movie.
Yeah, they got another problem. OSHA, the Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration, has cited the film for a willful and serious safety violation in relation to the death of camera assistant Sarah Jones, who was killed when a train rolled over a bridge the producers were using as a temporary set on the film. OSHA has fined the production company nearly $75,000 for safety violations. So that production continues to be plagued with all kinds of problems. Maybe it's time they just shut that down.
Sounds like it.
This casting news also bothers me. As you know, I am inexplicably addicted to Nashville.
Yeah.
I love that show.
I do, too.
It doesn't make any sense. I am not a country music fan.
Correct.
I'm not a fan of the nighttime soaps, and yet I am hopelessly addicted to Nashville.
Yeah, there's no answer to that.
They have cast an actor to play a movie star who will cross paths with the characters in Nashville because he's tapped to play a leading role in a film biography of a famous country singer. That actor is Derek Hough. From Dancing with the Stars.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Are you kidding me?
He's
playing a movie star?
Yes! He's going to be doing a multi-story arc on Nashville this season. Come on! Are there no actors left in Hollywood?
I guess not. Who can play a movie star, Ralph, convincingly? Come on.
Derek Hough from Dancing with the Stars.
Really? That's a sweet decision.
I mean, ABC, ABC, Synergy, I get all that stuff, but... Really?
He's maybe a tenth of a step above Bieber for playing that role, right?
Right.
What?
That's what we're
exactly.
all saying. So, that bugs me.
That is not the most believable casting ever.
No, it is not.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, August the 15th. Actor David Zayas, who, of course, played Angel the police sergeant on Dexter. So good on that role.
He was so good.
Sure knew how to wear a hat and a Hawaiian shirt.
Sure did.
Sure knew how to wear a badge around his neck.
Sure did.
He is 52 years old today. Deborah Messing, 46.
What about a bell on Miss Messing, you guys? I think she's very pretty.
I think she's very pretty, too.
Bell? Yes?
I got no
what
problem.
Do you think, Lisa?
I got no problem belling her.
No.
You're not belling Lisa?
No. Wow. I really like her, and she has moments, but overall, I'd say no.
I'm 40.
No, it's
saucer
not
that. Of milk over here, please. Saucer of milk. On this side
opinion.
Of the table.
I'm 45% yes and 55% no.
All right. I'm getting a lukewarm no then on right. Miss Messing. Sorry, Deborah.
Guess not, Deb. Sorry. Anthony Anderson's 44. Ben Affleck is 42. Natasha Henstridge celebrates her 40th birthday. Another Bell-worthy actress, Jennifer Lawrence, celebrates her 24th birthday today. And singer of the Jonas Brothers, Joe Jonas, is 25. I'm still licking my wounds over that breakup. Come on, Joe Bros, get back together again.
I
we
hear
need
you.
We need you now more than ever in this day and age, in this time of strife and social unrest and violence in the streets. We need a little Joe Bros to make us all feel better. It's about time you guys put aside your differences and get back to the sweet, sweet music you used to make. Who's with me?
No one.
Oh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Talking about the Ice Bucket Challenge, just heard from Sarah Shahi.
Oh,
yes?
You did?
She's in.
She's awesome.
She's in.
Now,
she's
you
doing.
Challenged her when you did the Ice Bucket Challenge yesterday.
Correct.
She, of course, your favorite actress from Person of Interest. And now she's responded on Twitter that she's not happy about it, but it sounds like she's going to do it.
Okay. So she's in.
I love it. Hey, you can see the video of Kevin and also David King of Mexico both doing the Ice Bucket Challenge up at KROQ.com. Matt Money Smith joins us next hour to talk NFL. Hulk Hogan apparently very close, pulling into the parking lot, so we'll have him in here in just a couple minutes. First, though, we got a story we want to tell you about. If you haven't heard about this, animal activists are up in arms. Now, generally, that pricks my ears up when I hear an animal activist is involved, because a lot of times they do call attention to bad things and, mm-hmm. and they need to, you know, have their message be heard and be listened to. In this case, I'm not sure they're not overreacting a little bit with their complaints about these turtles in Colorado.
There's an art museum in Colorado where they are strapping iPads to the back of a tortoise.
Why?
I don't know.
They're having them shoot movies for them. They're having them be their photographers. And then they're taking those movies and showing them in the gallery. So these are films that are shot by turtles. So the turtles aren't being asked to do anything except just be turtles, just walk around. But they've got an iPad attached to their back. Now, they're under veterinarian's care, and the iPads are mounted on the back of the shell with an epoxy, the same type that is used to attach tracking devices to wild animals. So it is something that's not harmful to the animals. It's certainly not too heavy for a tortoise shell.
I'd like to – A, it's stupid art. But B, why are they complaining? Like, what's the harm
well,
to
I
the
mean,
turtle?
I don't know. You're gluing something to an animal. It just seems weird. Wouldn't a GoPro be a lot smaller? And less intrusive?
Sure, but couldn't a human
just shoot the video is my question?
Well,
yes.
There is that, yeah.
That's
there
the other
that.
One?
Well, I'm sorry. We have an expert on the line.
Okay.
Marshall Thompson is his name, founder of the American Tortoise Rescue. And we're going to ask him about it. Hi, Marshall.
Good morning.
Oh, no.
Kevin
and Bede. Yes, you're on the air, sir.
And
right.
Bede.
And you are, I'm sorry, you're with what organization, sir?
Let me say it. I beg of you.
American.
Tortoise Rescue.
Tortoise.
Come on. Rescue.
Rescue.
Right.
So if you could quickly, sir, and succinctly tell us, what damage is being done to these tortoises that have a device on their back that weighs a couple of ounces that is in no way impeding their progress anywhere?
Well.
Now remember, quickly.
The shell of.
The tortoise. We know what we're talking about.
Tortoise.
Has an iPad glued onto the back that doesn't hurt the tortoise in any way.
Is an important
part of the animal.
Part
okay.
Of the animal.
Of
right.
The
animal. Right.
Animal.
Animal.
Okay. But the shell isn't
and
being. Okay.
As
such.
And as such, right?
There should never be
anything right.
This is exhausting.
On
foreign.
Right, okay. Attached to.
Attached.
I'm begging you.
I can't believe we only had time for one question.
The.
Right.
Tortoises.
Shell. Right.
Okay, Mr. Thompson. Very good, sir.
Shell.
Thank you very much. I have no further questions.
Hey, guys. I'm Hulk Hogan. What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you, brother? You were the one that I was supposed to have a match with a couple of weeks ago, and you put The Rock in your place, brother. Hulkamania is the strongest force in the universe.
The Hulkster's in the house.
It's you and me, brother.
Check him out, check him out.
So what you gonna do
when the going gets tough, the tough get rough,
brother?
You gotta be cool and eat fruit.
I am a real
WWE, the one and only Hulk Hogan.
Come on, everybody. A real American fighting for the rights of every man. The Hulkster himself joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Brother, what is so crazy? For 35 years, I've been asking that question. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Well, now I've got a bar. I got a club where I play a bunch of electronic music and get these crazy crowds down in Tampa, Florida. And the answer to the question is, what you gonna do? Go to Jimmy Hart's room 102. Because Jimmy Hart, my manager, actually lives there and runs the place.
Oh,
and he
no
stays
kidding.
In the hotel. And I tell all the girls at the end of the night, go to Jimmy Hart's
there
room
you go.
102, brother.
Sure, so
you're doing him a favor.
What kind of club is this that you run?
Well,
like a nightclub?
George Steinbrenner had a bar and a restaurant called Krabby Bill's and a Best Western Hotel. And when he passed away, I kind of took it over.
Oh, no kidding.
And, you know, I experimented around for a while, got the food right. The food's the best. It's right on the beach. And I started bringing in all kind of bands and acts. And my son goes, Dad, you need to bring in these DJs. They're like the new rock stars.
Yeah, they are.
So
yeah.
I get Skrillex coming in. Yeah. Like I had Cedric there, you know. I had Zed's Dead, Laid Back Lou, Carnage.
Really?
And all
listen
of a sudden,
to you.
All of
listen
a sudden,
to Hulk Hogan dropping
oh,
names.
Stop, brother. And all of a sudden, I get 4,000 or 5,000 kids there, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I stay up until 3 in the morning, brother. Because
wow.
We're turning a number, Jack.
You know? How often are you there in the building yourself, Hulk?
I usually cruise by on the weekends because it's right by Tampa Airport, and as soon as you pull out of Tampa Airport, if you follow the sign to Clearwater, you're like 1 minute away from my bar and my club on the water.
Nice. Right.
But then if you keep going to Clearwater 15 minutes away, I live over on the beach, so I'm around all the time.
How hands-on are you with this?
Not at all, brother.
Really? You let other people run it?
I count the money, brother.
All right.
That's smart.
Now, Hulk, when you walked in here, the first reaction that our producer, the little Mexican kid, had was, he's so big. And I got to tell you, with what you put your body through over the past 40 years, you ought to be bent over like a tiny little old man. But you still look the same as you did 25 years ago. What's the secret there?
Well, I'm not as big as I used to be. I used to be 6'7".
Right.
And now I'm about 6'4.5". And my mom passed away when she was 92 years old a couple of years ago. And a week before she passed away, she measured me. And if you came in my house, you got measured. You stood against the wall.
Right, against the wall.
And she made a mark, yep. And there were hundreds and hundreds of marks on her wall, and your name was next to it. And when I was 27 years old, I was right at 6'7". And then, you know, I was 60 when she passed. No, I was 59 when she passed away. And she measured me like a week before she passed away, and I was about 6'4.5".
What? Is that all because of a compression in your spine?
Well, pretty much. Well, I've had two knee replacements, two hip replacements, and because I jumped up in the air and landed on my butt for 35 years doing the leg drop, I had 9 back surgeries.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so a lot of people have one back surgery, and they're all bent over. And I just got lucky. Well, I had one bad one, and then we had eight more.
You have to go back and fix.
Yeah, but
right,
you know,
right.
Some people, after two or three, it changes their life. But, you know, the last couple surgeries I had straightened me up, and I'm cool, man. I still train and do everything.
I mean, obviously, you're doing a lot of things right, and there's some luck involved in just your DNA because, you know, you see other professional athletes who retire at 35 and have trouble walking to the car, and you're still doing crazy stuff in the ring. So you're some sort of Superman.
No, I'm not wrestling anymore.
No, but you're still out there. I mean, you're still out there being very active, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, you know? Yeah, man. These WWE have some long days, you know. like Monday to go from Tampa to Portland and catch a red-eye back, it's a 32-hour day. You know what I'm saying?
That is a long day.
And when you're walking and you know, power walking through the airports and flying 10 hours one way and 10 hours back, it gets taxing. So even that, the traveling's rough.
What is it like for you to walk through airports and have probably 99% of the people recognize you and want to take pictures and say hi and all that kind of stuff?
It's cool, man.
Does it get tiring?
Do you have to give yourself an extra hour?
Yeah, exactly. Do you need more time?
Well, Jimmy's always with me, Jimmy Hart, my manager. So it's kind of like everybody's really cool. Most people are always really nice. Sometimes I get too excited, a little crazy.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, when it first started happening, I didn't understand it. Then I got used to it. So at this point in my life, you thank God it's still happening. And it just hasn't changed a bit. I was in the Tampa airport yesterday with a bunch of wrestlers, and you know I was getting killed, you know. And some people don't get the same reaction.
Yeah.
You know?
And you've played, you know, in the long history, you know, up to the, you know, the New World Order when you went all evil on us and everything like that. Whether you're playing the bad guy or the good guy, the fans still seem to love you, right? I mean, you don't have people who hate you or hate your character, do you?
Well, maybe there's an X. No, I didn't say that. In terms
of the fans, though, whatever you're doing in the ring, they just love you.
No, well, yeah, you know, the deal is they're so darn loyal, and they've ridden this trip with me, you know, from the beginning all the way till now, and it's not over yet. They've ridden the highs. They've ridden the lows. They've watched me. They know who I am. They know because of the reality show, they know I'm a dad, a husband, a father. They pretty much know everything about me, and they're loyal to a fault, and they're passionate. So if I'm a bad guy and the whole promotion and the storyline is you're supposed to boo Hulk Hogan, they don't. I mean, they make a statement. I mean, I hit the Rock in the head with a hammer. I put him in an ambulance. I put chains around the ambulance. I actually myself got in an 18-wheeler. I ran over the ambulance, and they still cheered me. And I said, I don't know what else. I guess I could have burned him at the stake, but I don't know what else to do.
Wouldn't help. They would have still cheered you.
That's awesome.
Why aren't you in the Expendables franchise with your old friend Sylvester Stallone?
I got a serious, serious problem with that.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, tell me.
Yeah.
Because.
Meaning you don't understand it either?
Yeah, and yeah. I just saw him a few months ago. You know, at a comic. Oh, no, as long
was
as
it that. Because you picked him up and threw him out of the ring in Rocky III? Is
Dude,
he holding a grudge?
He threw me out. He threw me out.
He
if
did
you remember.
Too. That's right.
He threw me out. I didn't throw him out. He threw me out.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I mean, that whole Thunderlips thing in Rocky III made such a huge statement. A lot of people remember it. And I thought for sure me and Sly were good, man. I thought he'd be having me in all those Expendables, and I love those movies. And he's got a new one.
Perfect for
dude, he's got one starting today.
Today, I know.
Yes,
and I'm
I
like,
know.
Man, I can't believe he hasn't called me.
You did pick him up and wave him around over your head in that movie, though. And speaking of picking up, and everybody, you know, the most famous moment in your whole career was the famous body slam with Andre the Giant. You picked up a guy who was, what, 540 pounds and threw him to the mat?
Well, it's we're not really sure because his weight went between 500 and 700, depending on his health.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And he
But how do you even do that, Hulk? How physically can you pick up a 500-pound man and throw him? Well, how is it even possible for a human to do that?
That's a one-time deal. And when you're in the middle of the ring and some 7'4" guy that's actually over 600 pounds looks at you and goes, slam! Slam! You go, okay, I'll try to slam you. I mean, he scared me so bad when he yelled at me to slam him in the ring. My knees freeze, my back cracked, and my liver quivered. I was scared to death. I said, if I don't slam this guy, he's going to get up and kill me.
Now, was that the plan? I mean, you've got a storyline. Was that the plan going in, or is that something that you just did on the fly?
Well, you know, usually we know the matches are predetermined. Mm-hmm. You know who's going to win or lose. And a lot of guys like to talk about their matches and plan things out, but that's not my deal, man. It's an art form. It's like dancing or playing guitar or something like that. You know, the best wrestlers listen to the crowd and listen with their heart. You know, that's why when me and The Rock got in the ring, he's really good. And when the crowd started booing him, we had to switch gears because he was the good guy. And it took us a while to get it right. So with Andre, usually we would know who's going to win or lose. And I said, Andre, you know, what are we doing tonight? Don't worry. Huh? What do you mean don't worry? Don't worry. So I sat next to him in the dressing room for 4 or 5 hours. And Andre, you know, we're getting ready to go to the ring. What are we going to do tonight? Don't worry. I didn't even know he was going to let me win.
So he has no idea what
to
say.
And I asked Vince McMahon, I said, what are we doing?
Right.
This isn't funny anymore. This is not funny. And Vince goes, you'll be okay. Andre will take care of you. I went, he's going to kill me. There's 94,000 people out there who's going to kill me. But he was so gracious and so kind to me, and he beat the crap out of me.
Sure.
I'll admit that.
There's that.
And I tried to slam him in the very beginning of the match, and you saw how good I did on my dead weight.
Yeah.
He fell on me and about killed me. And then later in the match, when he decided it was time, he kind of like gave me a little booster, and I got underneath him with momentum. But that was a one-time deal. And, you know, it was just – that's how it was with him, man.
That's the greatest moment in wrestling history, though, right?
Yeah. What you say? That moment will never – there'll never be anything bigger than that moment.
Hulk Hogan is our guest here on the Kevin Amin Show, WWE Hall of Famer. He is going to be – well, he's in town this weekend for a tremendous event that's going on at Club Nokia. It's the SummerSlam Confidential Panels. A lot of your friends joining you for this, Hulk, and the fans get a chance to get up close and interview themselves, right?
Yeah, well, tonight we got one from 7 to 10 at Club Nokia, or Nokia, Nokia. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be cool because I'm by myself for 3 hours with the fans, and, you know, they're going to ask me anything they want.
Right.
And there's nothing you can't ask me because, believe me, I've been hit with everything I possibly be hit with, brother. So throw another fastball at my head, it's just going to bounce off. But, I mean, I'm ready to rock, man. And then tomorrow night we've got a panel. It's for WWE 2K15. It's a badass video game.
Right.
That's just like the storylines and stuff on TV. It's so real. I even look the same, which is hard to do. I mean, they got the good guy Hulk and the bad guy. We got Sting there. And we're going to have
Stone Cold Steve Austin, John Cena's there, Roman's there.
Bro, yeah.
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to have this panel, and who knows, it could get crazy with a bunch of us in the same room.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an exciting weekend. Then we got SummerSlam on Sunday. That's our premiere pay-per-view, just like WrestleMania. So this is a big weekend.
And that's
us.
A Staples Center, right?
So, yeah, man. Yeah. I feel like I'm 18 years old, man. Now that I'm here on your show, man, this is great.
And that's John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, by the way, at the top of the bill for SummerSlam. So that's an unbelievable
okay,
deal.
Okay, I got to say something.
Yeah.
Because every time somebody says Cena, do I have time to say something?
You do, but
absolutely.
Okay. You know, I'm.
What am I going to tell you? No.
And sometimes the fans will boo me for saying this. But the fans are chanting this chant, like, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. And they go, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. And, you know, I said something the other day. I said, you know, I'll never, ever say John Cena sucks because he took over where I left off.
Right.
And this guy has seen more Make-A-Wish kids, more dying kids than I ever did. And, I mean, I used to see, like, one a night for 25, 30 years. He sees 3, 4, 5 kids. They all love him so much. They come to him. He's got the hustle, loyalty, respect, gimmick. He has gone so far out of his way to make these wishes come true for these kids. And he keeps going overseas to see the troops. And on his days off, he travels around to the hospital and sees all these young kids that have their body parts blown up from the war and stuff. And so the big picture with Cena is he's much more than a wrestler. He's much more than a great champion. This guy's in it because he loves it. It's in his blood, and he actually cares. So for everybody that thinks it's cool to say Cena sucks, you'll never hear me say that.
All right.
Good to
that's know. That's beautifully put, and that's one of the things as we go to break here with the great Hulk Hogan on the Kevin Amin Show that I think a lot of people miss about wrestling is it's more than just what goes on in the ring. It's the whole rest of the community and the family. I mean, the fact that there are little kids out there who are sick and all they want to do to feel better is meet Hulk Hogan, for instance. I mean, that shows you how powerful the impact is that your sport has made.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, these kids live vicariously through us. I mean, you know, it's just amazing how this attracts the youth and how the wrestlers and you know, I got to give props to the WWE. They're PG and they're setting a great example. The anti-bullying campaigns, everything they've got going on with the Susan Coleman Foundation, everything that Vince McMahon and his crew touches turns to gold. And it is just such a refreshing time to be back home,
right,
where they went through the Attitude Era. You know, got crazy. And then they went through another era where I was working with Ted Turner. We had all the Monday Night Wars. But to be back here now, it's a really great time. The whole vibration's changed, brother. It's a much higher vibe, you know, a much higher quality.
All right, we need to take a break. Hulk Hogan is here.
No, we ain't taking no break, man. I want to talk all day.
People are already calling. If you'd like to, we could work in some calls. 1-800-520-1067. We will be right back.
Hey, this is Drew Brees, quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Just wanted to wish the Hulkster a happy birthday, brother.
How about your birthday on Monday Night Raw on Monday night, this past Monday night? You turned 61 years old, 3 hours of everybody just kissing the ring. What did that feel like for you, Hulk?
First off, let me straighten you out, brother.
Sorry, what did I do?
61 years young.
That's okay. What he said. Young, I meant. Right,
okay,
yes,
thank
of course.
You. It was crazy because, you know, when you go over your schedule with the WWE, you know, I've got other stuff going and different things I do. And WWE is a huge commitment, so I try to let them know other dates, and they do the same for me as soon as possible. I said, I don't care what's going on in August. I'm not working on my birthday, right?
Okay.
So all of a sudden, Vince McMahon calls up and goes, Monster, we would love to celebrate your birthday on Monday Night Raw. I said, okay. Yeah, I'll be there. WWE's throwing me a party, brother. I'm going to be there. It was great. You know, it was just amazing, you know, when I came out on the show, the reaction from the fans, and it was just really cool.
I played that tape there of Drew Brees, but obviously Aaron Rodgers, you know, grew up with you. He's a huge, huge wrestling fan, and especially a Hulk Hogan fan. And you probably have run into that your whole career with athletes in other sports who grew up with you as kind of a role model, I bet.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron James, you know, when my daughter was engaged for a minute to one of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I was at the opening game, and I was up. Jerry Jones wanted to talk to me, so I went to the suite for a minute. LeBron James came in, and he was like, he was jonesing, man. He was like jitterbug. Oh, my God, I grew up a Hulkamaniac. And I just don't think about that sometimes, you know?
That's crazy.
That a lot of these guys, like John Cena and even the wrestlers, Chris Jericho and Edge, they still got their posters in their room. And, like, I threw my headband out in Madison Square Garden, and The Rock caught it when he was 8 years old.
Oh, it's wow. Like, you know,
and, you know, back in the day, I'd wrestle in L.A., and there Gene Hackman would be sitting out front, you know, and Pam Anderson.
That's
and
quite a life.
You just forget about all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. What a life. You're happily married now, right?
Yeah, brother. Thank God.
I was so surprised, and I don't want to, you know, get too personal here, but I was so surprised that you ever got remarried again after what you went through with the last one. And one of the things about you is you always are a positive person and always looking for a way to make things better. But to have the attitude to be able to get married again after what you went through was a shock to me.
Dude, it was like getting hit with a lightning bolt from heaven. I mean, I was in such, I didn't realize how negative things were.
Right.
You know, I didn't realize, oh, the neighbors suck, or life sucks, or you're not making enough money. There's a whole negative vibe that I kind of like got, I inherited or I attracted for whatever reason. And then, you know, when I was really, really down and out and I bottomed out, I swore I'd never get married again.
Right.
And then I met Jennifer. You know, and not
right woman changed everything.
Yeah, brother, not to go into spirituality or the religion or any of that stuff, but when somebody is completely opposite of what you expect and life is beautiful and people are friendly and she doesn't watch the news, no TMZ, no negativity. I mean, when the Boston bombings happened, I had to tell her what happened. You know, when Robin Williams passed away, I had to tell her there is no negative stuff at all. If you're in my house and you watch TV, it's a History Channel, Science Channel, or cartoons. And it's so different than what I was used to with, that's not enough money, the house needs to be bigger. Nothing against anybody. But when I met Jennifer, I saw how beautiful every single day is. And I went, oh, my God, I'm not letting her get away. And, you know, she's 20 years younger, too, so that was really cool.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and she's in crazy shape, too. Nothing wrong with that either, brother.
And how are the kids now? Some of us got to know them a little bit when the reality show, the Hogan family, was on. But how are they doing?
The kids are doing great, thank God. They, after all the craziness, they both landed on their feet. Nick is actually, we were talking earlier, Nick is actually down in San Diego. He's DJing with, at a place called The Basement tonight. He got signed with Circle. Mm-hmm. He went back to school and he got his degree in mixing and mastering, stuff you guys do, I guess. and so he bounces between the recording studio here and one in Miami working. And Brooke, you know, ended up moving to Nashville, and she's been songwriting. And I got an exciting phone call this morning. She sold 3 songs to Disney today, so she's all pumped
no
up.
No kidding.
How about that?
So the kids are doing what they love, and I never dreamed Nick would be into this DJing thing. But I own a club in Tampa.
Yeah, there you go.
I know what I pay these DJs, brother, and I get it. You know?
It's crazy.
Not a bad field to get into, exactly.
We need DJ Hogan. I need to come out a little bit.
All right. Before we go to the calls, let me mention again, Hulk Hogan is our guest in the Kevin and Bean Show in town for a bunch of events this weekend, including the WWE SummerSlam confidential panels. Tonight, it's your chance to interview the Hulk yourself. It's going to be starting at 7 o'clock at Club Nokia. You can buy your tickets through AXS.com. And then tomorrow, you're going to be on the WWE 2K15. Panel along with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Sting and John Cena and so much more. So people can see that. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m. And, of course, SummerSlam is Sunday night. Kevin, we got time for a couple of calls. Who do you like here?
I like Chris. We got to start with him.
Let's talk to Chris. Line 4, he is in Norwalk, and he joins us. Chris, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. You're on with the amazing Hulk Hogan. Go ahead.
This is so awesome. Hello, Hulk. How's it going?
What's up, my brother?
Okay, speaking of brother, when I was a kid, I thought, you know, you're my favorite wrestler, and for the longest time, I thought you were black. And then
you thought the Hulk was black?
Yeah.
Were you not watching him on TV?
I was. He's just so tanned.
You know what, dude? I wrestle a lot of wrestlers that were supposed to be black, and I was actually darker than they were.
Well, there you go.
Exactly. And that's, you know, so I wanted to know how often, because my dad broke the news to me in my 20s, and I wanted to know how often did that happen? Did anybody else confuse you for being black, or am I the only idiot that did that?
Well, here's the deal. My dad was Italian from Abruzzo, and my mother is Panamanian. So I hide from the sun. If I go out in the sun, my skin turns like a purple color. And back in the day when I was wrestling, you know, I would never lay in a sunbed, but I'd go out, and I'm a beach bum. So if I go out on the beach for like 15 minutes, I attract as much sun as people that stay out for 3 or 4 hours. So there have been a lot of mistakes. You know, when I put my hair in a ponytail and when I was doing movies and stuff, I used to make my mustache black or shave it off. There's been several times when people have thought I was you know, a different race than I was.
That's Chris. Glad you called. Thanks so much for listening here. Let's go to let's go to Alex. He's in LA on line two. You must get a lot of questions, like I think Alex is going to ask you about whether you'd ever wrestle again. But let's see what the man has to say. Go ahead. You're on with Hulk.
Hi. Good morning, brother. How you doing?
What's up, my brother? How are you?
I'm fine. I just have a question for you, Hulk. Are you considering having a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin anytime soon?
Well, I don't know if Stone Cold would be up for it, you know, because when we were both wrestling, I wanted that to happen. For some reason, it never happened. But I'm trying to get to a place where physically I don't want to go in there and halfway do it. I'm trying to get to a place. I'm in pretty good shape. I've been training pretty hard. I'm trying to get to a place where I can go in there and really tear it down and talk Vince McMahon and the WWE to turn me loose in that ring. So we're getting closer every day, but that is my goal, brother, to get in the ring. And you know, Stone Cold was a dream match, but I'd really love to get in there and teach Cena a lesson.
Thank you, brother.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
What makes you want to? You've fought so hard to get your body back to a healthy place. What makes you want to potentially jeopardize that by wrestling again?
Brother, it's like being addicted to chocolate, because I'm a chocolate addict.
Same. Mm-hmm.
And if I walk by all this organic chocolate that Jennifer buys, I don't eat a piece of it. I'll eat it till I get sick. And it's the same way with this wrestling business. It's been in my blood for so long. I swear to you, I can walk, like when we go down to the ring, you know, during the day, I can walk by the ring, and this is going to sound really kind of weird. I can actually touch the ring when I walk by, and I get goosebumps.
Still.
I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But
no kidding.
You know,
well, it's such a big part of your life.
Yeah, it's just something about being in there. It's kind of like if you're in a room, and we're all talking smack, and all of a sudden a baby chokes on a piece of plastic. All we do is focus on saving that baby. We become immediately present, immediately in the moment, and we don't worry about anything. When I'm in that ring, it's the only time I'm completely present and aware. I don't even think about who's in the crowd, that somebody stole my car, that I owe the IRS $40 billion. I mean, I don't even think about any of that. When I'm in that ring, it's almost like just being in, I don't know what it is. It's like it just being totally
in the
moment.
It's just hyper-focus. You have to be there just with one.
It's the ultimate high. It's the ultimate high to be in that ring and to hear the crowd is so loud it makes your jaws water. I've been to Backstreet Boy concerts, Rolling Stone concerts, Aerosmith concerts. I've never heard anything as loud as when I'm standing in the middle of that ring. It's just crazy.
All right, I got a question for you then, and we're almost out of time here with the great Hulk Hogan on the Kevin Amin Show. Why would you ever admit that you were at a Backstreet Boys concert?
I was just going to ask the same thing.
Let me tell you something, brother.
And don't lead with
it. When your daughter is 8 years old,
yeah,
and she's in love with Nick Carter,
yeah,
you know, and
you do what you have
you
to do.
You live in Tampa,
dad.
And you know the guy that runs the St. Pete Times Forum, and you know you can get your daughter in to meet him and actually sit on stage for one song. You do what you have to do to make your kids happy.
Yeah, a lot of things that you may have sworn earlier in your life you would never do, you find just go and forget it. I have a daughter. She needs to be happy. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just crazy with these kids.
That's how you end up at the movie Frozen 20 times in a row.
That's right. And let me tell you something. I don't know if you guys got kids, but the older they get, the more they need you.
Interesting. Right. Interesting. Listen, we're not going to have time for any more calls. Hulk's got to go. We got to go. But a lot of people want to know, what do you think is going to happen at SummerSlam Sunday night?
What do I think is going to happen?
What do you think is going to happen?
What I think is going to happen is John Cena, my champion, is going to remain the champion. He's going to walk out of there the same way he walked in. But what I would like to happen would be for everybody to change their mind, give Hulk Hogan a title shot, let me go in there and pound and ground Brock Lesnar for getting in my face on Monday night, let Hulkamania run wild, let me come back to K-Rock with Kevin and Beanamania running wild, we'll tag team up, and we'll rule the world, brother!
Ladies and gentlemen, get your tickets to see him this weekend at AXS.com at Club No Key in SummerSlam at Staples Center Sunday night. Hulk, we love you, man. Come back soon.
Thank you, guys. Love you, too.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
Win your tickets for Rise Against at the Wiltern ahead of their on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. Next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus our old friend Matt Money Smith stops by. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, man?
I didn't hear any Hulkster.
You know, ran out of time. Got pretty busy.
Oh, now you'll
do it. You're Rich Little all of a sudden. Now you're Fred Travellina. Couple of good bulls.
I don't know who any of those people are, brother.
Yeah, I bet you don't. Hey, I want to give people a heads up. On Hulu right now, if you guys watch the Hulu, they get some great original programming. There is a comedy western, a western sitcom called Quick Draw that it's in its second season right now. And this week, the episode that I am in debuted.
Sweet.
And I'm asking people to check it out. I was in the first season. This is their second season. They had my character come back. And I'm real proud of this episode. It's an interesting concept because this series is completely improvised. There's no script. They have a storyline, but there's no dialogue. So you go out there and you just improvise the dialogue as you go along. So I'm especially proud of working with these people in this episode. And plus, this episode is my first ever stunt fight I got to do.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it was really fun. I think it turned out really well. So if you get a chance, go check out Quick Draw on Hulu or Hulu Plus if you're a subscriber, because I think you'll enjoy it. We finally have an end to the Casey Kasem story, it looks like. Casey Kasem, as you know,
2 months after his death or something.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Was married to this Jean Kasem, who seems like a sweet, sweet lady. And she has been playing Find Casey with his body ever since he passed. The body apparently was removed in the middle of the night from the Santa Monica Hospital where he passed away to Las Vegas, then to Washington State, and she's been keeping Casey away from his kids and from the authorities, it seems like. Well, it looks like they know where he's going to end up. He's going to be buried in Oslo, Norway.
Yes! Norway!
Don't ask why.
Why?
Well, because he's a famous Lebanese-American, Kevin, obviously.
No one knows why she's chosen Oslo, Norway.
There's no connection whatsoever in that family to anything in Norway, correct, Ralph?
No, no. But it's hard for you to say, Bean. Really, you shouldn't be complaining about people who have no connection whatsoever to Norway and their love for it.
Yeah,
I'm
no
just
kidding.
Saying. He's going to be buried in Norway. No word on which of Oslo's 20 cemeteries or crematoriums was chosen by Jean Kasem, but that's where he's going to end up.
So, I'm going to visit wherever it is.
I have a question.
Yeah, it's another reason for Bean to go to Norway. Norway and a radio legend in the same place? Oh, Bean will never come back.
I have a question.
Yes, Kevin.
Why?
No one knows. Mm. Except that, look, there are two sides to every story, but the kids seem to think that Gene does not want the body examined and or autopsied by authorities because they have been, for some time, trying to prove some sort of elder abuse charges regarding her care of Casey Kasem, and this would be one way where she would obviously avoid that if she took the body out of the country and he was interred.
Can she legally do that?
I believe as his wife, she has the legal right to take his remains anywhere she chooses.
That's an ugly end to that
story.
But
she sure was being very sort of clandestine about the whole thing. And,
is Don on the phone?
And Don had no comment. We couldn't get Don on the phone, sadly. But. Look at that. I'm out of time already.
It's out of time. Sorry.
That's all right.
We went long with the Hulkster.
That's okay. I just wanted
it
to get
It was Bean doing his impression.
I wanted to get that Casey Kasem update out there. That's all it really
Before matters. You close us out with the celebrity birthdays, Ralph,
yes.
Apparently Matt Money Smith, now he's running late.
Oh,
bad traffic
on.
Out there today.
Why can't these people get their act together?
Those Rise Against tickets that we promised that we thought would be later in the hour are actually going to be right now. If people want to go, they want to earn their way in to see
how?
Rise Against the Wiltern, 1-800-520-1067.
How can they earn them?
We have been playing different games every day this week, but today we're going to put it on you, the Rise Against fan, to show how much of a fan you are by asking
you to dump
YouTube.
A bucket of ice water on your head?
Nope.
No. Yeah. You're going to try to stump the great Rodney Bingenheimer, the radio legend that works right here at K-Rock, who knows everything about every band we play. If there's a question you have about Rise Against that you think Rodney cannot come up with the answer for,
now,
then you'll win your way into the show.
There's no chance they're going to get any tickets.
I know.
Then.
But I know it's tough.
But Rodney's strength really is the 80s. What does he know about Rise Against?
He knows all.
Does he? He stays current.
All right.
Absolutely. So if you've got a Rise Against question, you can give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. And when we come back, Rodney will try to answer the question. If you stump him, you may win your way into the wheel turn ahead of the on sale at 10 o'clock this morning.
Real quickly, celebrity birthdays. David Zayas from Dexter, Deborah Messing, Anthony Anderson, Ben Affleck, Natasha Henstridge, and Jennifer Lawrence all celebrate birthdays today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
All right. Oop. Rodney on the Rock Show at 10 o'clock.
Nope.
1-800-520-1067.
That's the right phone number, but it's the Kevin and Bean Show, Rodney.
But talk to Brian Wilson.
Nope.
Beach
Boys. Not happening.
Rodney, let me try to tell you what's going on here. And I'll do this very quickly. And if you listen, I think this will go much more smoothly
all
than
you. All right. Gary Newman.
Okay, I know you love the 80s, and we get that you love the 80s, but this isn't about the 80s. This is about the popular band today called Rise Against. Listeners are on the phone. They're going to ask you questions about that band. All you have to do is answer their questions, and if you can't, they go into the drawing to win tickets,
right.
Okay?
Michael Hutchins was the lead singer of NXS.
It's not what we're talking about. It's about Rise Against as we give you a chance to stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig wham bam.
All right, that's Godhead.
So let's actually listen to the question before give them an answer, too.
All right, let's start with Caesar from Pomona. Hi there, you're on with Rodney.
Caesar, all right.
All right, guys, how's it going?
Hail Caesar. Love your salad.
What's your question?
Tanners every time I go there for
lunch. About the band Rise Against. Not about the 80s, but about the band Rise Against.
All
what's
right.
your question?
Okay, Rodney, what city in America is Rise Against from?
City in America.
What city in America?
It's pretty easy one for anybody who knows Rise Against.
Berlin.
Is that a city in America?
All right. Sexheimer.
Well, let's go with Chicago.
All right. 25 or 6 to 4.
Nope, that's the band.
Not the band. Not the band.
That's
city.
That's the band. Right. We're talking about
Does
the city.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Caesar, you're in the drawing. Hang on. You're one step closer to winning free
really
Rise
care?
Against tickets.
Let's go to Huntington Park and say hi to Moses.
All right. If you leave me now.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Right. Well, we're doing
We've
well.
We've moved on past Chicago. Now, let's listen up to Moses' question, Rodney.
Moses, I save the Jews.
What's the name of the first Rise Against album?
Name of the first album.
Rise Against.
Rise Against.
Album.
The name of the first album.
All right. Whip It.
Nope. Sorry. It's The Unraveling.
All right. Devo.
No.
That's Devo, though. That's not Rise Against. You
All
see
right.
the difference
what
there,
did
right?
I win?
You didn't win. Moses goes into the drawing. All right. Let's move along to David.
Moses supposes his toeses are roses.
Okay.
All right. Indeed,
David.
Hey, okay. What's the name of the lead singer for Rise Against?
Belinda Carlisle.
What are you talking about?
All
it's clearly a guy at least, right? Rodney. David, what is it?
It's Tim McElrath.
Buster Poindexter.
Why do you say things after they give you the
All
answer?
All right. What'd I win?
You didn't. He goes in the drawing.
Bertie Higgins.
All right. Another David. This is in Norwalk. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Hang on, Rodney's trying to gain his composure.
It's not going very well, actually, because Rodney's not really listening to the questions, I don't think.
All right, that's God.
All right, David, what's your question?
Sure, what label is Rise Against under?
Sheena Easton.
Is that a record label? Are you even listening to the questions?
Sinead O'Connor?
What's the answer, David?
A Fat Wreck Chords.
Fat Wreck, right, exactly. Thank you very much for the call. All right, you're in the drawing, too. We got time for one more, Kevin.
All right.
Let's see. Let's try to get an easy one
Band
here. Vandal
Ballet.
Adam in Corona.
Oh, hello, Rodney.
All right. Adam.
What year was the band formed?
Year was the band formed.
Okay, now this is going to be a year. That's a clue. So it's going to be like, you know, 2001 or 2008 or 1997, whatever the answer is. But it's going to be a year, Rodney.
Year. What year?
So not the name of a band or a song from the 80s.
Oh, I feel like we're zeroing in.
Uh-huh. All right. He's thinking. He's thinking hard. He might actually get this one.
What year?
Haircut 100.
That has a number in it.
All right. What'd I win?
Is it Haircut 100, Adam?
No. It's 1999, Left Balloons.
All right. Take it easy, Rain Man.
All right.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Adam's doing his own show. All right. So Caesar's in the drawing. Also Moses, both of the Davids, and I guess Adam as well. Who is going to go see Rise Against at the Wiltern on September 16th or 17th?
Billy, Vera, and the Beaters.
We're going to tell you, buddy.
All right. What they win?
The winner is David G. Line 3.
Congratulations, right. David.
Kenny G.
Stop talking, Rodney.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam pet.
Matt Money Smith, co-host of the wonderful Petros and Money radio show on AM 570, is joining us today.
It's good to be back in the studio.
Showing up whenever the hell he feels like, but he is here, so we do give him credit for that.
I was mounted by La Cienega. Mm. Mounted me and rode me.
Wow.
For 35 minutes to go 5 miles.
I hope La Cienega calls you tomorrow.
She won't.
She won't.
She won't.
She's a bitch.
I'll leave her one voicemail after another, and she won't.
And La Cienega mounts you dry, too, by the way.
Does.
Nothing good about that.
No.
Jeez. So, Matt, the reason
Bean
you're here
takes
today...
right.
Yes, he does.
Pardon the pun, but a stoplight too far.
That's right.
The reason you're here today is it's your yearly plea for us to not make fun of fantasy football,
yes.
Right?
Yes. That is correct.
Let's get the business out of the way first. You're going to be doing what on my TV this weekend?
This weekend, I am hosting NFL's preseason Red Zone. So all those preseason games on Saturday, I think there's 8 of them between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. tomorrow.
No kidding. There's 8 games.
8 games. So we'll be, zipping around the league, going to every game when there is action in the Red Zone. And you get to watch. And, you know, preseason week 2 is a lot different than week 1. Yesterday we saw, you know, in that Jaguar Bear game, starters play the entire first half.
Right, which is very different.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of position battles and real football.
I'm
being
surprised
played.
That the NFL Network didn't come to me for this.
You know,
I figured, like,
well,
I
know, with your razor sharp mind,
there's Andrew Siciliano, and
that's a great point. Yeah, so Andrew does it for DirecTV. So if you have DirecTV, that's their Red Zone.
Right.
If you don't, everybody else has this Red Zone. So, cool. You know, Cox and Fios and all that. Did I mention Cox?
You did.
Yeah. Charter. They have the Red Zone. I'll be on tomorrow at 4 p.m.
All right.
So there's that.
So, fantasy football.
Yes. I host NFL Fantasy Live. It is regularly the highest rated program on NFL Network. It begins on September 1st. I will be hosting Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And we are streaming live every day at 1 p.m. on NFL.com.
All right. Listen.
That's where I'm going right after this, guys. Gonna put on my suit.
One Direction sells a lot of records.
They do.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Fantasy football, wildly popular.
I understand that.
It's brought a lot of people to the game of football.
Yes.
It is an opportunity for you to really interact with the league.
That's how we feel, but also stop it. We also feel that.
Well, let me see if I can take this angle here.
We know how popular it is.
It's wildly popular.
We think it's stupid.
50 million people play.
Wow!
50 million people play fantasy
football. What was wrong
football.
With football that fantasy football fixed? What was it lacking that now it is offered via fantasy football?
Perhaps a team in Los Angeles for 2 decades.
Good point.
30?
That is how people in L.A. consume football.
Okay.
You know, people that
so
have graduated high school.
People who play fantasy football are in Los Angeles?
No, I think...
people should stop it.
But truly, in L.A., there is an entire generation that has grown up, graduated high school, is halfway through college. That's their affiliation with the NFL.
That is
all they have. It is their fantasy team. They don't have any allegiance. They root for who their quarterback is, who their wide receiver. They may be an Eagles fan this year because they got Nick Foles in the 10th round, and he's hey, listen, let me tell you something about Nick Foles.
Tell me.
Here we go. Listen, people.
Don't try to win me over to your fantasy football game by buttering me up with Nick Foles.
If you count that game against the Broncos when he had the touchdown in the 50 yards, I think, on 3 of 4, he only played 11 games.
Right.
If you take his average, his fantasy point average from those 11 games, only one quarterback produced more points per game than he did, Peyton Manning. Nick Foles, the number two producing fantasy quarterback last year. How do you like that?
He's the greatest quarterback
you
in
like
the history
that, right,
of the game.
You like that, right, Ralph? You like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is fantasy football all about stats?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
That's another reason it makes me nuts.
Me too. Because stats are misleading.
What,
and
because you guys have such a visceral, palatable connection to the game of football?
No,
because
didn't...
football took your legs from you?
No.
Listen, I don't like this stat stuff. I like football for the violence.
I do. I enjoy the game for the drama, for the excitement, for the adventure of the game. But when she said, "Oh, this every yard you divide by pi, and then you multiply it by the age of the running back,"
here's what I'll tell you:
you get 8 points, except on Thursday. Then if it's Yom Kippur, you have to wear your yarmulke, and then they
Yom
give you
Kippur
a pickle.
Never come. Now seders are involved. Kippur is not. Imagine this, Ralph. Go back two seasons.
All right,
two seasons. Eagles are terrible.
Yes, they
are. It's a death march.
That's
by
right.
Week eight,
yeah.
And you're miserable.
But I was there every week.
Yes,
honey, watching.
Miserably watching.
Screaming my lungs out at my television.
Now
set.
Instead.
But never.
Maybe you got Cecil shorts on the Jaguars.
No.
Maybe.
No, I hate the Jaguars.
Yeah, I know, but now you love them.
I hate 31 teams
but
in the NFL,
but now you love them, Ralph, but now you love them. Because the Eagles season is lost, and you're rooting for them to lose, so they get a higher draft pick, so they could take a juiced-up former quarterback tackle who's going to be suspended for 4 games in the first round, and it allows you to interact with football, even though your team is no longer competing
for the
postseason.
Why can't I just watch football and interact with football?
Because
I got my Sunday ticket. Why can't I just watch football and enjoy football?
It allows
you. What was
you,
I missing before that I can't just enjoy the game?
You know what it does? It creates smarter fans. It creates smarter fans because you are now
are drinking the Kool-Aid.
No,
man.
You are now educated on every roster.
Uh-huh.
You know what teams have the best pass defense, so you don't want to start your receivers against those particular set of cornerbacks. People out there saying, "Oh, you know, I'm going to draft Colin Kaepernick ahead of Nick Foles." No, you're not, because he's playing against the NFC West, and you know that those receivers are going to have to face Richard Sherman and Patrick Peterson and Janoris Jenkins. So now you see what I'm saying? Now you become a cerebral fan because you're paying attention to matchups so much more ardently than you have before.
I'm not listening to you right now
because you live in a magical wonderland where you actually draft a quarterback and you think you have players and you think you have a team.
I do. I am a general manager.
I should be put in a
padded
room. I'm
like Thomas Dimitroff of the Atlanta Falcons.
No,
I've got wacky hair
not.
And I'm a vegan and I ride my bike with Lance Armstrong. Are you guys watching
you're
Hard Knocks, by the way?
You're a deluded man-child who believes he has his own team of football players.
I watched
players.
The first Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I'm taping it.
It's the most boring Hard Knocks ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
come on, it's Atlanta.
Yeah. The lead story coming out of the first episode of Hard Knocks was that Mike Smith wears Tiva. Their head coach somehow has kept the fashion statement known as Tevas, which, by the way, would be a great name for a fantasy football team. Mike Smith
all right,
Tevas.
We need to take a break.
Ha!
All right.
The
we
comedy.
Got it. We need to
boom!
We need to take
where's my rim shot?
We need to take a break because my head hurts, to be honest.
And now it doesn't matter.
All right, take
because,
it easy.
Because right. Now with this Waze app...
All right, take it easy.
The one human skill I had that was superior to everybody else in this city is no longer needed.
But now we're better informed drivers.
That's correct.
We're more engaged with our driving experience.
I will say this.
It's the Kevin Bean Show.
The Fantasy Driving League that I'm in.
One of the things, and Matt Money Smith is here.
I do love about the Waze app is when it tells you to get off like the 5 freeway in East LA.
Right.
And you're cruising through these neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And you see a trail of BMWs and Jaguars and dudes just hanging out in their front yard going, what the hell is happening to this neighborhood, man?
We were going to a Kings
parade.
We were
to
going
town.
To a Kings playoff game, and all of the freeways were stopped. And we took Waze, and we were in the middle of these neighborhoods. I was like, "We're literally going to never be heard from again, let alone get to the game."
And instead, what
made
happened?
It on time.
Those kind
made
neighbors
it right
just waved, and they welcomed you to their neighborhoods
very
and their
happy.
Streets. Right?
Yep. Hey, Matt Money Smith
is
here. He is the host of NFL Fantasy Live, starting on September 1st. Is that right?
Yeah,
Monday
September
through Friday
1st.
At 2 o'clock on the NFL Network. Kevin asked you a fantastic question right as the record was running out, and that is, hey, Mr. Fantasy Football, how much are you winning playing this? How do you do?
I do well. I have made this will be my third season, or fourth season on NFL Fantasy Live. I have made the Super Bowl twice. I have made the Final Four once.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, and one of the great things, guys, if I may, about fantasy football is it brings people together.
Oh,
yeah. My maternal side of the family, our cousins, we're always very close, you know, raised Christmas, holidays, we play football in the backyard and stuff. And we, of course, grow up, we have children, we go our separate ways. But you know what keeps us connected? Our fantasy football league, named after my late grandfather, Frank Zudok. It's the
not interested.
What? Huh? Hello?
Not interested.
This is fascinating.
Yeah, it's what fantasy football can do.
It's all about the family.
Can bring people
sure
together.
It is.
Was the NFL network slow to put on fantasy football programming because they were afraid of the gambling implications of it?
Well, yeah. I don't know if it was so much that as they just didn't think it was that, you know, that compelling a product, you know, an hour-long TV show about fantasy. So originally it started on the .com, and it would stream on the .com, and it was so popular, they're like, you know, just throw this on the network, see what happens in the middle of the day, who cares? And it quickly became one of the highest-rated shows.
What do the players think about fantasy football?
That's a good question, too.
You know, the hallways of NFL Network are crazy. They really are. It is surreal when you're having a conversation and just Warren Sapp pops out of a door and decides to join it. You're afraid that if you disagree with him, you may get
QB killer.
He may just crush you into a pile of dust and drop you at his feet. But they don't like it for the most part. Kurt Warner is one of...
You know why? Probably because they are in the real world.
Yes, that is exactly because...
They're playing football with a team.
Their fingers are mangled. When they talk to you and they hold up...
Brian Baldinger fingers going 19 different directions.
Baldy's there regularly. And I think when their knees hurt and their neck aches and they turn to talk to you and instead of just turning their head, their entire body shifts.
Right.
All their discs are fused.
And you're telling Kurt Warner, a God-fearing, benevolent soul, that, you know, Kurt, I'm just not a Larry Fitzgerald guy. You know, I just don't think that in a PPR league, he's...
He didn't get enough points this weekend.
He wants to beat you within an inch of your life with his Bible.
That's what he'd
like to do.
Because he lives in a real world where a real sport is being played by real men in real time.
This is the... I don't know if this is the sad thing or just reality, and we have to come to grips to it, Ralph. People these days, fans... I'm not kidding. Fans like off-the-field sports conversation and drama more than they do the games themselves. Because they know they're never going to play football. They really hold on to this strong belief that they could be a GM. Listen, man, I'm not kidding. They are deluded, and they believe that they could run a football team better than general manager.
This is Dungeons and Dragons for jocks. These are guys who played in high school, who never had a chance to play in college or the pros, but they still think, now I'm sort of in the game now because I'm doing this.
Listen, I knew that Toby Gerhart was going to be a great number one back, all right? I could easily have Dave Caldwell's job in Jacksonville. That's right. What they believe, and this is kind of their connection to the NFL and a chance to hold on to a thread of that dream that they could still have a job in football.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey,
wow.
In our remaining moments, you started this conversation by talking about how popular fantasy football is in Los Angeles, in part because there's no local team to root for. I'm sure you've been talking about on your AM radio show, Money, the news out of Oakland right now. There are starting to be rumblings again of the Raiders moving back to town. What do you know about that?
The autumn wind is a pirate.
It makes sense. The Oakland Coliseum's a disaster. It's the worst venue in all of professional sports. The A's have talked about just tearing it down and building a baseball-only facility. The city of Oakland is broke. Yeah. I mean, as a municipality, it's probably in the worst shape of any major metropolis in California, so they don't have money to build a new stadium. The problem is the NFL does not want private contractors to pay for and build stadiums. They don't want that. The owners are not interested in that. They want public money,
they
can continue to get public money everywhere they want to build.
You don't want to start the precedent of private stadiums.
They have no interest
in that.
Every
owner has to find a way to pay for his own stadium.
So that's the one thing impeding the progress of the Raiders moving back down. But that, you know, it would be the Chargers and the Raiders. The Chargers have a stadium situation that stinks. Mm-hmm. The Raiders have a stadium situation that stinks. And in L.A., if the NFL can finally see, to me it would make
sense.
Does
the NFL want a team here?
They don't care because the ratings are still high.
Right.
They, you know, gate receipts used to be, you know, how you made your money as an owner. You don't anymore. It's all television revenue.
Right.
100%, not 100%, but almost. You know, that's why the Jaguars, everyone's like, well, they're going to move the Jaguars to L.A. Why does Shad Khan want to move the Jaguars out of L.A.? He's making a boatload of money from his television contract. He doesn't want to have to share that team with anyone. When if you move to L.A., that's what you're going to have to do. You have to bring in a partner that built that stadium for you. So that's kind of what's in the way. The Rams situation is interesting because Stan Kroenke bought all that land. He's the owner of the Rams now, and he bought all the land that Hollywood Park is on, and that was Al Davis's original idea and where he wanted to build that stadium. So the potential is there. Sam Farmer, who writes for the LA Times, does a great job covering the NFL. I usually take my cues from him. When we ask him, hey, how much attention on a scale of 1 to 10 should we pay to this? He would usually say 1 or 2. And the last time we had him on, he said, I'd go 6 or 7.
Really?
Now. Yeah.
Mm.
So he's believing that we're a lot closer, and maybe 2016 is the magic number.
Donald Sterling is available if we need an owner.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the rumor I heard the L.A. Kiss might join the NFL? That could happen,
makes
right?
Makes perfect sense.
That's what I think.
You can split Paul Stanley out wide. Gene Simmons is your trigger man.
Just move him up, Ralph.
Yeah, right?
Damn it, I had Ace Frehley in my fantasy league, too.
When Matt Money Smith was our sports guy, he made me go to an arena football game. He said, there's so much more fun in person.
They are.
And he forced me to go, and you hated it.
I did.
I remember specifically. Money was like, oh, this sucks.
It's back in the Avengers day.
And it was because of the PA announcer.
Oh,
who was
shut up.
Just wearing us out. Stand for your Avengers. Shut up!
Before the Kiss came to town.
Now
it's a new world.
We'll have go-go dancers hanging from the ceiling.
You want the best? You got the best!
We are out of time, gentlemen.
Oh,
I'm sorry to say.
Hey, the man, Bean.
NFL Red Zone from NFL Network with our man Matt Money Smith is going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow, you're going to be toggling between 8 games. Is that right,
yeah,
Money?
Yeah. 4 p.m. Red Zone Freeview for many of you with your providers.
Dish,
here.
Charter, Cox, Optimum,
I'm
Fios.
Sorry, what was that last one there?
Fios, actually.
If you've got Cox, Fios, then you'll be able to see me for free.
And then starting on September 1st, NFL Fantasy Live will air Monday through Friday on the NFL Network.
Call me back,
Matt Money
sweetheart.
Smith, ladies and gentlemen. There he goes.
Don't use me and abuse me.
Thank you, Lisa. It's World Famous K-Rock at 8:52. I almost just got in a fight with Ralph. That just happened.
Well, because
why?
You,
what
you
happened?
BS. That's why you...
Over fantasy football?
You thief?
No, he claims...
Stole my red Sharpie.
He has a red Sharpie that he writes on his paperwork with. And it must be that red Sharpie.
It's my security blanket.
And every time it's missing, he blames me.
Because you've taken it before.
Well, once out of 20 times.
Once.
I didn't this
once.
Time, but I thought I was about to have to defend my honor. It was about to happen.
About to go down. I will see you at dawn with pistols, sir.
Hey, I don't know why we sent Beer Mug out to the red carpet for the world premiere of The Expendables 3, but we did. And those interviews are coming up for you right after the top of the hour. First, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
Well, good news. Finally, the event we've all been waiting for is going to happen after 84 years.
After 84 years?
Betty Boop is getting her own movie!
Yeah! Woo! Wait, what?
Betty Boop. The Betty Boop movie we've all been waiting for is going to happen. Betty Boop.
Yeah,
Betty Boop.
I don't even know what that is.
Betty Boop.
Right, I mean, I've heard you.
Betty Boop.
I understand the two words that you're saying.
Betty.
There's Betty.
Boop.
And Boop.
Now, we've seen the little caricature of Betty Boop around. I mean, I know what it is, but is there a character there? Is there a backstory? Does she talk? Is there a plot line? What's her story?
It's Betty Boop.
we know who you're talking about, but is there anything more than just that image and that name?
It's Betty Boop.
Don't you say Betty Boop again.
Boop, Betty Boop. She said that. Boop, Betty Boop.
You're not seriously excited about this movie, though.
No,
are you?
This is okay, no good. One needs this.
All right,
this
good.
Is
was it a comic book or what?
Stupid. No, she was a cartoon character back in 1930. She debuted.
All right.
And in the movies, you'd go to see a movie, and before then, you'd see a newsreel and then a cartoon.
They show you the news at a movie theater?
Yeah.
What a terrible idea.
Oh, for decades they
well,
did.
How well, would people you get your news, you dope?
People didn't have television, Kevin.
There's no internet, no television. What are you going to do?
Bad idea. I'm just saying bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. It's a genius idea.
Bad idea.
Why do you think it's a bad idea? Until
you're not
then,
going there for news.
But you still
some
want
people to be informed about stuff.
How else would you ever see, like, the President of the United States, for instance? You wouldn't, because there was no television and there was no way other way to see it.
And I'd be fine with that.
Well, not everybody wants to be a dope.
And sometimes there was a war going on and you wanted to know how it was going.
You get to see footage of the war that your son was fighting in.
All and right. Movie stars and red carpet premieres and all the things that you want to see that you take for granted now, there wasn't available any other way. It was a brilliant idea, Kevin. Admit it was a good idea.
I don't think it was a good idea. Who cares?
It was.
Why
let me
are
put
you
it,
guys
let me,
mad at me?
Let me put it in phrase you can
why
understand.
Why are you
it
guys mad
It was like
at me?
YouTube. Before there was YouTube, you could see footage of things that you were interested in.
I love it. I wish I was living in the 30s so I could go roll around in
I
it.
Wish you were living in the 30s, too, because odds are you'd be dead by now.
I hate you both.
It was a genius idea.
It was great. It was genius.
This is blowing my mind that you don't understand why this was important.
Because Kevin hates knowledge so much. He embraces and wants to F stupidity so badly on its sweet body that he can't comprehend the idea that people would watch a news 15 minutes of news in a movie theater.
So you could read in the paper about a guy who took a hot air balloon around the world, but when you went to the movies on Saturday, you'd actually see interview with him and footage of his balloon up in the air.
But be you stopping with that? Kevin wouldn't read the article in the newspaper either. He would just be a guy selling pencils on a street corner. That's all he would do.
I might dance.
So anyway, you'd see these things, and they put these cartoons in movie theaters. And Betty Boop was one of these cartoons. She was wildly popular in the 30s. And then, of course, because it was awful, people stopped watching it and caring about it. And now it's going to be a big-budget film that Simon Cowell apparently is producing.
Oh, good.
He said it'll be a music-driven hybrid animated comedy. Betty's an icon. One of the biggest stars in the world, Simon Cowell said. And the world said, nope.
Simon has lost it.
Really? He thinks he can just do anything because he had one hit TV series. Madness. However,
but you've heard of newsreels, though, right, Kevin? I mean, you knew that they existed, right?
Stupid, dumb, absurd news in a movie?
I mean, you had heard of them before, right?
I don't like stupid. There's another Bad Boys sequel in the works.
Wasting perfectly good time.
Bad Boys sequel in the works with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
See, like that information. That's huge.
That would be something they would cover in a newsreel back in the day. It looks like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence will be teaming up once again. That's right. Those Bad Boys return for another Bad Boys trip. That's what they'd be saying in the newsreel. When Conan O'Brien was featuring Martin Lawrence, Martin told him, I just talked to Jerry Bruckheimer yesterday, and it's the real deal. We're working on a script. They're getting very close, and it all looks good.
All right, I would watch that guy.
See, that's what the guy does in the newsreel.
I would watch that
guy. It
would
be like a silent picture of like Martin Lawrence talking to Conan O'Brien. They would just be gesturing back and forth. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Zayas of Dexter fame is 52 years old. Deborah Messing turns 46. Anthony Anderson is 44 years old. Ben Affleck turns 42. Natasha Henstridge is 40 years old. Jennifer Lawrence is 24. And singer Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I am told by a number of our listeners throughout the year that their favorite part of the Kevin and Bean Show is when we all sing Don't Bogart That Joint together on Friday mornings.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because they're just glad that the show's off the air and now it's safe to listen to K-Rock again.
That's probably it.
Or whether maybe they even really like that song might have something to do with it. But if you're a Don Bogart fan, that's coming up. And Ralph's got the final look for the week at the Showbiz Beat in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, how about a little feature we like to call You Be the Judge.
We'll be the
Kalamazoo,
judge.
Michigan, Department of Public Safety officer came to the rescue of a woman who was choking in her car. Officer Jason Gates initiated a traffic stop in the 4100 block of South Burdick Street. She blew through a red light right in front of a cop, and you can even see it on his dashboard camera. I mean, there's no question that she just didn't stop for a red light.
So guilty.
He lights up. He pulls her over. As he approaches the vehicle, he realizes the woman behind the wheel is in respiratory distress because she is eating a hot dog while she's blowing through the red light.
Really? So she's choking.
She is choking.
Wow.
He asks the driver if she's all right. Quickly realized she was unable to breathe. He administered a couple of back blows, it says, in an attempt to dislodge the hot dog from the woman's throat. Back blows did not work, so Officer Gates removed the woman from the driver's seat of the vehicle, then used the Heimlich maneuver and was able to dislodge the hot dog and the bun from the woman's throat.
Do not tell me he gave her a ticket for running the light.
The woman immediately began crying and threw herself into Officer Gates' arms, thanking him for saving her life. By the way, the officer on the dashboard cam video says, holy S,
as she begins
hysterically crying. So he's surprised by that. He is being touted as a hero, but did he give the woman a ticket for running a red light in front of him? A little feature we like to call, You Be the Judge. That doesn't sound right, by the way.
Well, it was a little late. Try it again.
A little feature we like to call. You be the judge.
I'm sorry. Give me
what happened now?
Give me a 3, 2, 1.
That's, is that more like reverb and we need echo? I always get confused which one to ask for.
That's echo. That's echo.
That's echo?
That's reverb, I think, yeah.
Which one do we want? Echo. What sounds better?
Echo is the one where it actually says it again and again.
Just, I think that's what we want. Yeah, I think that would sound better.
This just sounds like you're in a gym or someplace.
Yeah, let's get some bathroom. Echo here. All right, now, Lisa, you said...
There you go.
Turn it down while you're fixing it, could you? So, Lisa, you said guilty before
guilty.
We even started. So,
yes, I did.
And by guilty, you mean that the officer did give the woman a ticket?
Well, no, I didn't know the story, obviously. I'm going to say the officer did give her a ticket. Guilty.
Did give her a ticket because even though she was choking, she clearly ran a red light.
Broke the law.
Broke the law.
You don't
all
do
right?
that.
Kevin, what do you say?
I say not guilty. I say he does not give her a ticket for that.
And what's your reasoning for why the officer would not give her a ticket?
It was an emergency, and she wasn't capable of doing it.
Oh, so you think she was – that's why she ran the red light is because I didn't see anything to indicate that, but that's certainly possible.
Well, I mean, you thought that she started – what, eating the hot dog after she got past the stop sign?
There's no way to know whether she was choking before or after.
I would guess she was choking and couldn't stop.
All right, so you say no on the ticket.
Right.
All right. Beer Mug, what do you think?
Look, as much as I commend her for shoving down a hot dog down her throat, she had to have gotten a ticket because she ran the red light. And you're not supposed to be eating while you're driving, too.
Ooh, good point.
Wow. Okay.
Hate it when Mug makes a good point.
Once again, the feature that we like to call... You be the judge. Oh, it's so much better.
That was pretty good. We got to work
so
on it.
So much better.
Yeah, better.
He did not give her a ticket.
No ticket.
Which may be why he's being touted as a hero, by the way, and not as a dick.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Apparently, nearly dying is a win-win, and that's something to keep in mind in case, like, Mugs, for instance, if you ever see the lights behind you or something like that, you know, just start stabbing yourself in the chest or something like that, just so there's a medical emergency when the officer pulls you over, then you don't have to worry about whatever the infraction is.
I like it. B goes right to stabbing in the chest.
Well, I'm saying...
That's sweet.
Whatever he's got available to him.
Yeah, sure.
We know he has food in the car at all times.
That's true.
Exactly. And in his mouth at all times, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there's a happy ending. So that woman's got a lot to be grateful for at the end of the day. She didn't die choking on a hot dog, and she got out of a traffic ticket.
And you be the judge. Oh, it didn't work on me. You be the judge. It's now complete.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And if they can figure them out, if Penn and Gillette can figure out how they do it, they're off the show.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Penn and Gillette have to figure it out?
Yeah. Apparently both of them have to.
Oh, Penn and Gillette?
They have to come to a conclusion together.
Teller just has no role in this
That's
whatsoever?
Correct, yes.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. Once again, by the way, the listeners are the ones who were criticizing us, Ralph, for no longer hearing the gold that's coming out of Kevin's mouth. We just don't even listen to it anymore, I guess.
If you get burned in the same location long enough, you will develop a callus, and you just won't feel that sensation
I think
anymore.
That's so. Thank you for keeping your ears open, you guys.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, everyone.
Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Thank you for watching Kevin with a fine-tooth comb.
Exactly.
Before I get to the show business news... I do want to mention, Beam told this story this morning, but I want to recap of this amazing service called Saucy. Saucy is also known as the Uber for alcohol. Let's say you don't want to leave your house. You're having a party or something, and you say, ugh, I don't want to have to go down to the liquor store in order to get another giant bottle of Grey Goose for Kevin.
How dare you?
Because he's worked all the way through it. All we have left now is Red Bull. We need some vodka to keep Kevin loaded. But you don't want to get in your car because you've been partying yourself. So what you do, you call Saucy. Saucy's an app that you can put on your phone. It's like Uber for alcohol. Well, Saucy has teamed up with the MeUndies people. And they're offering, as an introductory, a very special promotion. If you order Saucy today from 4 p.m. to 9 o'clock, I think it is tonight, if you use your Saucy app and you order booze... MeUndies will also throw in a sleepover pack, which is a fresh pair of underwear, socks, T-shirt, sunglasses, and a hangover pill from Drinkwell.
They thought of everything.
This way, if you're whoring around...
You've got a hell of a night plan,
Lisa.
Yes.
And you decide you're just going to stay over wherever you pass out.
Sure, so you don't have to do the walk of shame.
With whatever guy it is you end up with tonight.
Or girl. Right.
You end up with the sleepover pack, and so you're taken care of for the next morning, and they deliver your booze as well. This all happens within 20 minutes after you order through your Saucy app. That's Saucey.
by the way, when you go to download the app. And they will deliver all that stuff I mentioned. It will be handed to you by a gorgeous MeUndies model in their underwear.
Yay!
And the reason I am so enthusiastic about this service is because they delivered to me here at the station today a bottle of Bullet Rye whiskey.
That's what was going on in our studio.
Yes, they brought me a bottle of...
You already had some of it?
I've been tasting some of it.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Bullet Rye whiskey, one of my favorite ryes. And it was a beautiful girl showed up in very little clothing. And she gave me my sleepover pack and my bottle of booze. And it was a lovely experience, so I recommend it highly.
I can't find anything wrong with that.
I can't
That's
either.
That's all good.
Plus, as if that wasn't enough, if you use the code MeUndies when you place your order, you get $5 off the order as well. So all of this is highly recommended by me, Ralph Garman.
www.voicesfromspirit.com/capital V21
It's go Confused. Just go to your phone and download the Saucy app and then use it today, and you'll get a beautiful model. We'll hand deliver you not only booze but underwear, socks, t-shirt, glasses, and a hangover pill. And I think they got the fellas and the gals in the underwear. So whatever your flavor is, you can enjoy that.
We're living in the future, you guys. It's happening.
Okay.
I'm just saying, things that could only have been imagined a short time ago now are reality.
All right.
That's what
easy. This is just somebody bringing booze to your house.
It's awesome.
It's just
don't get
delivery.
Us wrong.
It's just a delivery.
Right,
it's a great delivery, but just
it's
relax.
A great delivery, and it's something that
it
was needed.
It's not the
future. It was something that was needed and wasn't available a few short weeks ago.
You know what
ago.
The future is? That's, a flying car.
It's not being beamed into your house. Via hologram, and then suddenly is printed out by a 3D printer, and then you get to have it.
That's a great idea.
It's a great idea, but someone's just driving booze to your house and then dropping it off. Has been done since, I think, the late 1800s is when they started delivering.
This is just like Band Walking on Mars.
It's not at all like
that.
It's
not the same at all.
It's a great thing, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of like a pizza being delivered to your house, only it's booze and underwear.
Okay. Put that in the post. It's like pizza being delivered, but only with booze and underwear.
That's right. In case there was any question. All right, let's talk about show business news. Casey Kasem's body has been discovered where he is now and where he will be buried. And that place is Oslo, Norway.
Is Don on the phone?
If Don is on the phone, I'd like to ask why Casey Kasem is being buried in Oslo, Norway.
That is weird.
It has been arranged by his widow, Jean Kasem, who took his body in the middle of the night from the Santa Monica hospital he died in, then moved it to Las Vegas, then moved it to Washington State, and now apparently is taking it to Oslo, Norway for its final destination.
Look, I don't know what's going on, but something bad is happening.
If you have to bury someone in Norway... To keep them away from his kids and the authorities, something's up.
Something's up.
I'm thinking his body is filled with diamonds or something. There's some sort of smuggling
That's
operation.
Part of a heist.
Yeah.
Right.
His coffin's filled. It's lined with $100 bills or plates for counterfeiting. Or there's some sort of Ocean's 13 kind of action
there's
going on.
There's some tomfoolery.
Yeah, there is indeed. If nothing else, Kevin, tomfoolery is involved. I agree.
And maybe even hijinks, too.
Oh, I think
those
are crazy.
Just hijinks.
Just as long as shenanigans stay out of it, that's all I care about.
There's no connection, as far as anyone knows, with Kasem family and the country Norway. It's not an ancestry or anything like that.
He was Lebanese, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was Lebanese.
Just appears to be just a random spot on a map that she chose.
Didn't have any relatives there, anything?
No.
Wow, there's something wrong.
But
there's a lot wrong with that.
Something about Norway.
What the hell's going on here?
Maybe they have no extradition policy with the United States or something. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
I'm with you, Case. Godzilla 2 is coming. No surprise, the original film picked up over $200 million in box office in North America alone. Well over another $300 million internationally. So $500 million is what it made at the box office.
All right.
So they've announced it's coming back to theaters everywhere, Godzilla 2. Get your calendars out. June 2018 will be the release date for Godzilla. Now, why the wait, you say, for 4 years before we get to Godzilla 2?
Why the wait?
Well, Kevin, director Gareth Edwards, who brought us Godzilla, has a couple other films in the works, including a Star Wars solo film that he has to do.
That will be out at Christmas time in 2016. So he's a very in-demand director right now. So Godzilla 2 is going to have to wait just a little bit.
It was well made. He's very well made.
Good work. I've heard rumors that Godzilla will be joined by some other classic monsters in the film as well. So we get a little Rodan action or some Mothra thrown in there. Be pretty sweet.
Love it.
Tragic news made even sadder. Robin Williams' death is still in the news. His wife has come forward and announced that her late husband had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease shortly before he took his own life. People are speculating, of course, that's all we can do at this point, that that news may have worsened his already depressed state and caused him to feel a case of, feel such despair that perhaps that's why he chose to take his life. But Parkinson's, they say, if it's caught early on, you can, of course, be treated and they can keep it at bay, but they say there's no connection between Parkinson's and suicide. By that I mean Parkinson's patients do not commit suicide anymore than the general population, but it's just in his particular case.
Just worsened his depression.
He was
maybe
diagnosed. That's what they're thinking. Yeah. Yeah, that news perhaps made things even worse.
And speaking, I was surprised that he did not reach out to Michael J. Fox when he was diagnosed, by the way.
His wife said that he was not ready to go public with the diagnosis and not ready to deal with that onslaught of media attention at the point when he was diagnosed. So
That's all bad.
Yeah. Speaking of Robin Williams, this weekend Disney has announced that on the Disney Channel, Disney XD and Disney Junior, they will be airing his film Aladdin. Of course, he played the genie in that film to rave reviews. It was a remarkable voice performance. And as a tribute, they will be showing that this weekend. So if you've never seen that and you check it out with your kids, it's a,
that's a great movie.
Fitting tribute to the memory of Robin Williams. Robin talked about making the film and said initially they came in and I was just doing the scripted lines. He was quoted as saying, I asked, do you mind if I try something? And then 18 hours of recording later, they had the genie. I just started playing, and they said, go with it, go with it. So I improvised the character, and in the end, there were something like 40 different voices I did for that role. So you can check it out this weekend if you want.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Hang on a second. Whoa! Wow! Does it feel good to be out of there? I'm telling you, nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, where are you from? What's your name?
He was Manic, wasn't he?
He was.
He was.
Sports and nature.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, August the 15th. Actor David Zayas is 52 years old today. Deborah Messing turns 46. Anthony Anderson is 44. Ben Affleck, soon to be seen as Batman in Batman v Superman. He is 42. Natasha Henstridge is 40 years old. Jennifer Lawrence turns 24. And singer Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 25.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
Oh, come on.
That's science.
Just talking about Joe. He's 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday morning. Seems like I should have said more.
Yep, had more room here for sure.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wah, wah, wah.
Roll another one.
Damn, that girl's tight.
Just like the other one.
What the hell?
This one seems to be about to quit.
A nation rejoices.
I need another hit.
What is your spirit animal?
I have a bunch of spirit animals. I'm a squirrel. I'm a whale, I'm a goat, and I'm a dragon.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Roll another one.
I could never eat this much meat. That's not what I hear.
Just like the other one.
Survey says, you.
This one seems to be about to end.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off
that?
I miss Butthole Week.
But the Bogart that joint,
it ain't natural.
Just pass it around.
Oh, my goodness.
But the Bogart that joint, my friend.
Well,
just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
That's about it for the Adrian Crown Hour. I'm going to take myself out of the driver's seat, but I'm going to turn you over right now to Mr. Excitement, a man with limp-damaged hair, but nevertheless, a fireball.
Hi, it's Kat.
You know you don't have to act with me, Steve. You don't have to say anything, and you don't have to do anything. Not a thing. Oh, maybe just whistle. You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Thug Life!